Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Now, today I have a guest. Author Michael Preve is with us, and I'm going to introduce Michael in just a moment. But first, I always want to take a moment to thank all of you for spending your valuable time here with me on the show. I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed and that you feel your time was well spent. You know, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world, and you love helping others reach their dream. Perhaps that's you, and that's why you've decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. I hope that you find this will be another great show with insights to help you on your entrepreneur journey. And make sure you check out the show page before you leave. There's always a gift for you there, and there's links to connect with me and, of course, our guest today, Michael. And you can connect with us on Facebook or on my website. I would love to hear from you. You know, perhaps you have a message to share and would love to, you know, share your message with the world. I always enjoy having new guests on the show, so make sure that you connect with me. Now, allow me to introduce our guest for today. Michael Preve is an interesting man. He was born in the USSR, and he moved to the United States in 1979 and went on to graduate from the University of Pittsburgh, and he became a construction engineer. He's an insurance adjuster by day and a writer by night, and we're going to hear more about that. Michael lives in San Francisco Bay Area with his family. Since 1987, he's been an avid student of Eastern and other religions. In studying and practicing different religions, he followed the path to spiritual enhancement, which brought him face to face with esoteric knowledge and abilities. He had achieved some fame as a psychic healer, and in his book, You Are Psychic, he's attempting to simplify the journey so that it doesn't take you 31 years to achieve these same abilities. I know that you're going to really enjoy this show. Join me now in welcoming Michael Preve to the show.
Well, welcome, Michael. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share with us here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you very much.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story. So would you share with us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to where you are today and the books that you're writing, especially the book that we're talking about today, You Are a Psychic, The Healer's Handbook?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was born in the Soviet Union, in the USSR, and what was interesting to me from the beginning, kind of as long as I can remember, are things like the meaning of life and who is God and where I can find him, you know, and all these other questions, and I was very serious about it. However, in the Soviet Union, of course, there was no way to pursue any of that. So I eventually managed to get out of there in 1979. And then in here, I had this long journey, which is over 30 years long now, sometimes full time, sometimes not full time, but basically the journey of understanding of and answering those questions. And I'm very happy that actually I did answer some of those questions for myself. And I consider that this life was like well lived in that regard.
Yeah. You know, in your book, and when we've talked before, we talked about how we're all psychic, you know, and we all have that intuition. So why do you believe that that's so? And how do you convince other people of that?
Well, first of all, if I may just say that I don't mean intuition. Like when I say psychic, I don't necessarily mean the gift of clairvoyance or like basically the ability to predict the future or know things in advance. I don't actually mean any of, I don't have myself, I don't have much of any of those skills to speak of myself. What I do have is I have the ability to remote view, especially remote view inside bodies. I have the ability to locate spirits and bodies, like locate. Like, in other words, I can locate any spirit pretty much who, you know, is not opposed to me locating him or her. And from there, I can make a connection with the body, and I can remote view into that body, and I can heal it. I can affect it in various ways and use various techniques that are all based on extrasensory perceptions and so forth. But with all that, I can't predict future, or I can't see any of those things. But like, the reason I am saying we're all psychic is the most important reason is because I develop these abilities, and I use them pretty much every day now for healing very effectively, you know, and I would have never guessed. It would just never even remotely occur to me that these abilities can be developed. And now, so looking back at the track that I had to come where I am with this, I kind of realized that if I could do it, anybody could do it, that there were only a couple of major obstacles, and we all have these abilities and we all have the same obstacles. So the book, you know, You're a Psychic, The Healer's Handbook, has to do with that, with overcoming those a couple of minor obstacles, or, well, obstacles, and then just some pretty simple drilling. You know, so basically what I'm thinking is that if I could do it, anybody could do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you clarified psychic, because psychic means different things to different people. And some of our listeners may have thought, oh, you can predict the future or whatever. And I totally get that psychic in this sense is sort of that inner ability to, and I love how you can, you know, locate things and identify things within people's bodies and spirits. Not everyone is able to do that without some training. I mean, you've worked on this for 30 years, right?
Yeah, even more. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how would someone begin? Like, and probably just reading your book is a good way to do that, because there are lots of, you know, techniques and drills, as you call them, to sort of practice and hone those skills, correct?
Yes, correct. So there are drills, but drills are actually less important. But drills are important, but they're less important. And there are also meditations. Meditations mm-hmm. would be more important. So there's a meditation regimen, and then there are drills that are pretty simple. But most important is to, like, the biggest bang for the buck that the person can get in their spiritual development, in my opinion, you know, I'm just presenting my personal opinion here, is in taking out the obstacles to their spiritual abilities that they already have, but they don't even realize that they have them. That would be kind of the biggest bang for the buck. That's the most important thing that they can do, I think, would be the most significant thing. If you want, I can explain that briefly.
Yes, I want, you know, talk to us more about the obstacles. I mean, are they limiting beliefs? Are they other? Tell us how is that defined, and how would people know what those things are? How could they define them in their own selves?
Yes. Well, you see, and this is actually something that I don't think I did a very good job explaining, like, in all details in the book, even though I made an honest attempt to help people remove those, but like, I could explain it more. So basically, all the obstacles, you know, and there are several, could be pulled back to one particular thing, only one, and that is lack of certainty. So okay, so in order to be a psychic healer, like, in order to be a psychic healer of my variety. I don't know, you know, I don't know any other varieties, but to use the techniques that I use and to do this particular methods that I use, you have to have unshakable certainty. You have to have ironclad certainty in yourself and in your abilities, and you see what you see, and you do what you do, and you know what to do, and you just do it, and you get results. And of course, when you start getting results, it gets easier to be certain. But this certainty, you know, so this is one major thing there is no real good way of acquiring this certainty other than two ways that I describe in the book how this can be achieved. The first one is somehow ending the addiction to experts and seeking out authorities and you know, seeking out authoritarian type of education. Like if you need something, you just go and read up on it. You know, just kind of like basically weaning oneself off of that. That would be first thing to increase your own certainty, is you have to stop relying so much on other people's certainty. You know, I'm not talking about things like advice on how to fix your plumbing or how to paint your house. That's different, and that's not really what we are talking about here. I'm talking about things like if there is God and who is God and how is it all constructed and what is the limit of your abilities and can you do this or can't you do this? The answer is yes, you can do it. Whatever it is, you can do it. Then later you can sort it out. But you can't accept any limiting abilities, and pretty much anybody you read up on will give you limiting abilities, will limit your abilities in some way. So it's better to leave the authorities alone and stop kind of depending on authoritative type of education and rely more on experiential education. In other words, your own experience in, for example, in meditating. So there are specific meditations that can be done and you progress a certain way, and experiences that you have is the truth. And, you know, whatever anybody else says in different religions or whatever is not the truth. You know, the same thing with medicine. Medical professionals will tell you that germs cause illnesses. They don't. Medical professionals can tell you that if this is what you got, you know, there is no cure for it. Yes, there is. You know, they can tell you that you have 1 month left to live because you have blah, blah cancer. You know, no, you don't. Like, this is kind of the thing that I'm talking about. There are other things that go beyond authoritative education or instruction or this addiction to, like, kind of like seeking out somebody else's opinions for these things. Anything that's limiting is wrong, period. I have so many stories to tell on that, you know, and even from my own life, because I was one time pinned to a loading dock with an 18-wheeler truck. 18-wheeler truck pinned me to a loading dock and crushed both of my knees. And I was personally told that I will never walk blah, or I will not do blah, or I will have to always use this. You know, none of it is true, okay? Anything that's limiting is always false. So that would be the first thing, is to kind of get to increase certainty, is to stop relying on authoritative type of instruction. That's one thing. Second thing is fear. So fear in itself is the most damaging factor. And fear, I call everything, any manifestation of fear, I call it fear, but actually we call it differently. Like we call it worries or insecurity or, you know, what else? Phobias, obviously, are fears. Conservative ideas and approaches, they're all based on fear. They're, you know, that's why they're called conservative. You know, so any of those things will, you know, basically have to go. And without, like, effectively handling those things, the certainty will never come to the point that it, where it needs to be, you know. Yeah. So I go, that I actually covered pretty well in my book, the fear part of it, and I actually go quite a bit into that.
Well, I think that trusting, you know, trusting that the messages that you're getting, what you're seeing, what you're, you know, like if you're locating bodies or whatever it is, if you don't trust that, and I say to people all the time, anything is possible as long as you believe in yourself. I mean, and then fear, obviously, fear is at the seat of almost everything that we do with in this world. So that makes perfect sense. Where do you start, Michael, with somebody to, aside from, now, do you have a practice as well? Do you do healing for people, or does it go beyond the book? Is what I'm wondering. I think.
Oh yes. I do a lot of healing. Okay. I heal. you know, it's not, I don't have like a formal practice and I never charge any money. So it's all sporadic, but it's pretty regular and often. Usually at least once a week, at least one customer a week, or let's call it patient a week that I get. This week, actually, today is Friday. So far, I had three. One of them was a dog with a pancreatic cancer, you know. And I never treated dogs before, so I was very interested. So anyway, yeah, I heal all the time. And you ask where to start. Where I start in the book is, first of all, meditations. Mm-hmm. So there are specific. So meditation, of course, there are many different meditations. I don't even know if in the old days they had those meditations, or some of them are more recent inventions. But there are some ancient and basic meditations and so forth. And I give the full regimen. And then the drills. Drills start with what I call a setup drill. The very first drill. And the very first drill I have, actually I found extremely effective in working with people, which is finding similarities and differences between different objects considered similar, which is my favorite personally. And there are several things you can use. You can use two trees, or you can use two faces of two different people, or you can use the backs of your own two hands, or the palms of your own two hands, and so forth. You can use any two objects, but I personally really like working with two quarters.
Two quarters.
Yeah, two quarters, both on heads or both on tails, and with enough lighting and with good, in good, like, so visibility is very good. And then you have to find 100 similarities and 100 differences between those two coins.
Wow.
And it's very difficult at first, very difficult. It seems almost impossible because it's so similar. But the results are well worth it. That's why I call it a setup drill. I don't believe like anybody can progress very far unless they kind of get this, you know, sense of the texture of the world and see how beautiful it is and realize that beauty is only attributable to differences. Similarity creates kind of like a background, and differences are the only thing that create the three-dimensional effect in this kind of texture of the world. So that's really important, in dealing with people, and especially with sick people and this and that, and just generally in life. So that's the first drill. And then there are drills from progress from there.
So how did these exercises come about? I mean, I totally, you know, meditation obviously has to be part of it, but then taking it a step further to like the drill that you just explained with using the two quarters, which I can't imagine how hard that would be when you're first starting. So how did that all come about? What led you to develop the drills, these drills, and share them with people in your book?
Ah, that's an interesting question. Well, so I studied 28 different religions. And I don't consider myself a super genius or anything. You know, everything is already in there. The main difficulty and why it took over 30 years was because there is no guide book or guide person or, you know, something like that would say, okay, now you do this, now you do that. So then you stray off into this direction and you try this and you go into there and you have to constantly kind of think and weed out what's not needed and bad directions and harmful directions and bad things to do and so forth, and which is just by far most of it, which is like the majority of everything I ever tried and studied and learned. And then you kind of isolate and kind of distill this path, and then this type of drills, they stand out. But basically none of these drills are really 100% invented. I didn't invent really anything. They are part of different religions. You know, there is a lot of imagination drills and creating images, basically, and manipulating those images. That's old from old Buddhism and Hinduism. You know, maybe they did it differently. Maybe I'm doing it a little different, but basically they're all present. This particular drill is also Buddhist, finding similarities between two coins. They actually used rocks, you know, and I don't know if they had 100. They actually did it different. 100 is an arbitrary number. 100 may be too many or not enough. I just kind of did 100 just because I think for a Western person, it's easier. The way Buddhists used to do it is they stare at these two rocks until they get this realization that I was talking about. And if it takes them a year, that's fine. You know, it's not like 100 differences or similarities. It is until they get the final result of that exercise, you know. But I just kind of, for myself, I kind of think that, you know, 100 should be plenty. And I do say it in the book that if you get this life-changing realization and a sudden boom, you know, happening before 100, then you're done. You don't have to do the whole 100, you know, kind of like that. But basically, all these drills are distilled from this long experience of trial and error, which was by far mostly error, you know. So that's how that came about.
You know, you talk, that's fascinating, Michael. You know, we talked about healing and your healing practice, even though it's not a practice, but you do it kind of as a hobby or for people. But I think, especially in today's world, I think the world needs healing. Is there some way that these practices and learning how to hone these skills can help us to heal the world? I mean, I think the more people who work on that, the better it's going to be, because I think the world in general needs, you know, help right now with global warming. And I think Mother Nature is kind of angry with us, you know, so what's your take on that?
Well, you know, Wayne Dyer said that enlightenment, which is we accept as the way up, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the direction up for the world and the civilization and the entire planet and for us and for the nature and so forth. So the way up. So Wayne Dyer defined that way up as being immersed in and surrounded by peace. Okay, so to be immersed in and surrounded by peace, if we accepted the way up, then the opposite way would be down. I actually go quite a bit about it in the book, because fear is at the gate, at the threshold of the condition which I call confusion. Confusion is right at the bottom of fear, and basically, on some levels, confusion is the extension of fear, and confusion is insanity. So confusion is down. So if we are talking about psychotic and so forth, we are talking about this would be down, and out of fear and up toward unconditional love would be up. So that brings about the condition of being immersed in and surrounded by peace. And I kind of like believe that most people want to have this unconditional love, and they want to be immersed in and surrounded by peace. But this is kind of like very difficult to achieve in actual real life, because of these various people who keep upsetting you, and they're doing everything wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and these people just look wrong, and these people behave wrong, and these people are just from a wrong country altogether. You know, and all this, and at the end, on the final count, there is this unconditional love only toward one's dog, you know, and there is some love to about two or three other closest relatives, and everybody else basically is bad. So whatever people want, for various reasons, they can't like really lift themselves up. So what that comes from, I believe, is from the lack of spiritual abilities and spiritual awareness. So through working on improving the spiritual abilities and spiritual awareness, they will be able to kind of more and more move toward the unconditional love and away from fear, basically, and confusion. So that's kind of my take on it. So any kind of spiritual pursuit which leads toward, you know, like, let's say, meditations, toward kind of like understanding who one really is, and you know, and improving their abilities and so forth, that would all lead up, and this is the way up for the world, the spiritual enhancement of the world kind of thing.
You know, we could talk about this kind of stuff all day, but I know that our time is limited, and people's brains are probably full of stuff already today. If there was one thing that you want to have our listeners take away and remember from our conversation today, Michael? What do you think that one thing would be?
Well, you know, if there was one thing that I could actually like recommend anybody, would be you know, sit comfortably and breathe in light and breathe out fear. Breathe in light and breathe out blackness. This light is unconditional love and the blackness is fear. And I didn't invent that either, but it's a very effective way of getting rid of fear. And the way it works is the less fear you have, the more unconditional love you have automatically. So in other words, so if you are kind of full of fear, if you get rid of this fear, you will be full of unconditional love. So that's where peace and happiness and joy and space, lots of space, and just the best things in life, that's where they live. And this particular drill, in my experience, even like a couple minutes a day, will just make dramatic, drastic results pretty much right away. So that would be one thing that I would recommend. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like, it will also heal some illnesses as well. So that's one drill that I would do. Wayne Dyer actually invented it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's fabulous. I love that. And I think that's such a golden nugget to leave with our listeners today. You know, Michael, I know that people are going to want to know more about you and get your book, or at least check it out. So tell us how they can do that. And I'll put the link to your website on the show page so people can just directly go there. But tell us how they can find more of your stuff, Michael.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have, well, on Amazon, obviously, if anybody searches for Michael Priv, for my name, all my books are in there, which is quite a few. And also I have, there is a TV network, which is called BingeNetwork.tv, Binge Network. So on Binge Network, I have a kind of like, I don't know, a channel, I guess you would call it, with my videos, which is called Live Inspired. So there is that. Then of course there is Facebook. There is my website. Yeah, that's about it. Instagram, LinkedIn, you know.
And I would imagine if people go to your website, Michael, that they could get to those other places too.
You know, unfortunately, I have to say I'm not like a completely computer genius.
Okay. Okay.
Some things may be missing here and there.
Yeah. But they can contact you, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay. So as long as you got that, we're good. Well, I want to thank you for taking your time today, Michael, to share with us all of this really deep information. And I know 30 minutes isn't enough to do it justice, but thank you for sharing a taste of it for people so that it gives people something to think about. And I love your golden nugget, that one thing. If you can only do one thing, I love that. To just, you know, breathe in the love and light and let the fear and the hate and everything else go.
Right. Yeah, you exhale it. Yes, thank you very much, Bunny. I really enjoyed it. I much appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.